this earth. And we need to identify that. And there is a sound of dreams. And I want to talk about today about the sound of dreams. You know, on the day of Pentecost, what happened? It says, and the place where they were gathered, Acts 2 says, and that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in what accord? Not a Honda Accord. They were in what? One accord. One accord. So unity. And in that place, it says in verse 2, Acts 2, 4, and suddenly there came a what? A sound. A sound from heaven. There's a sound from heaven that we need to learn to hear and learn to align with. Our whole lives, we need to learn about the sound that comes from heaven. Not only to tune our ear up and in, but God loves it. Heaven loves it when heaven hears the sound. Because we are the sons and daughters of God on this earth, and we can let a sound resound. Not only does a sound come from heaven, but a sound gets released from earth. And he puts the Holy Spirit in us to release something on the earth. And when it's being released, heaven is happy. Yes. And so something happened. And when they were there, it says the Holy Spirit filled. And we know the whole story of the book of Acts. They were filled with the Spirit. They all began to speak in other tongues. And the glory came powerful. There's a sound of revival. There's a sound from heaven. There's a sound. And it's God's dream coming to pass through his children. We just think like, well, it's my dream. The worship was awesome. And that's powerful. And Annie's an awesome songwriter. And that's her dream, is to release the voice of revival. Our worship pastors, Pastor Matt and Pastor Andrew and all these worshipers, they're releasing this sound of revival on the earth. But it's not just their dream. It's God's dream. Right. Isn't it? Isn't it God's dream that he would release revival? Isn't that what it says from the old to the new? And when it came and that sound was released on the day of Pentecost, and now we're sons and daughters, and what do we get to do? The whole earth groans waiting for the revealing. We get to reveal a sound. We get to go into the streets and the highways and byways. When we witness, we release a sound. When we worship, we release a sound. When we, there's a sound. And there's a sound to our dreams. And when our dreams happen, it's a powerful thing. Advertisement, quickly. There's a Honda Accord out there with the turned on, locked in your car. You're going to be out of gas and in trouble. Nissan Altima. If you have a silver Nissan Altima, your car is running on the parking lot. Go get it and take care of it. Out of the advertisement. God is releasing a sound. And there's something that is happening on the earth, and we get to be part of it. Now, I'm talking about dreams. I want you to just think about this. There's just a local skater who had a dream. How many love local skaters? More of you needed to clap right now. Come on. And at the age of 6, this local skater switched from, he was also a skier, but he switched and stopped skiing and started snowboarding. By the age of 7, he was a sponsored snowboarder. By the age of 20, he stood on the Olympic platform and became a household name. His name is Sean White. Right? Local, right here. A lot happened from 6 to 20, from the time that he was standing there with his little skateboard getting rebuked by people for riding in there, making noise and doing whatever and, you know, getting kicked out of pools and whatever the guys do, you know. A lot happened from 6 to 20. Are you here? Something happened at age 9. He bumps into another local dreamer turned pro skater, Tony Hawk. It just so happened? No. He bumps into Tony Hawk and Tony Hawk mentors him. Sean White's a 2-time Olympic gold medalist. He holds the X Game records for gold medals. What happens if he wouldn't have found and bumped into Tony Hawk? Sean first switched to snowboarding because his brother switched from skiing to snowboarding. And everybody knows his brother's name, right? Whoops. No one knows his brother. Today I want to talk about a little brother who had a dream. I'm going to talk about a little brother who had a dream, and the older brothers, nobody really, like, they were, and then not only were they kind of like the prodigal's older brother who was jealous of his little brother, and who actually, there was a problem, a little older brother syndrome in the prodigal. It's another sermon. But I want to talk about Joseph, and he had a dream, and his brothers dissed his dream. You ever been dissed? Have you ever been dissed? And his older brothers didn't exactly embrace him. His name is Joseph. He was a dreamer. And he never strayed from the sound that sound that comes, the sound of the dream, that sound that comes from God. No matter what happened to him, he held fast to his dream. No matter what happened, and it doesn't start out very good. He has this dream and he's dissed, and we all know how that feels. You know, dissed, feeling that denigrated, to feel belittled, dissed, to feel, you know, it's not good, you know? And that's what Joseph felt, you know? He felt put down by his brothers, and he had his dream dissed. So I want to talk about three disses that could diss your dreams. Are you here? But Joseph made it through all three, and you can make it through all three. But if you get snagged on these, you get separated from your dreams. So the first one is discouragement. First one I want to talk about is discouragement. Say that with me. Disagreement. Disagreement. Say disagreement. I'm disagreeing with myself. I'm getting ahead. Disagreement. And disagreement can mess you up from your dreams. So his brothers disagreed with his dream, right? So it says in Genesis 37:5, Joseph had a dream. He told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. They didn't agree with his dream. They hated him because of his dream. Wouldn't you say they disagreed? So his father had given him favor, given him this coat of many colors, and they were jealous. The father of the prodigal came in, and they were jealous that the father would love the son who wasted it, and the older brother was jealous. And jealousy is a terrible thing. Its root is fear. But this Joseph, he was a dreamer, and he had a dream, and he had favor from his father. Kind of sounds like us, doesn't it? Because you're God's favorite. You carry God's colors. Every one of you is God's favorite. Someone rebuked me and said, it says right here, God has no favorites. He can't have a favorite because we're all his favorite. Because we're all sons and daughters of God. And he looks at all of us as his favorite because he loves his children. Are you with me? And he was hated because of the favor of his father. And then when he told the dream, they hated him more. And let's just read the dream, Genesis 37:6. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. He wasn't really smart. There we were, binding sheaves. He's telling this to all his brothers. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he has a second dream. It gets better. In verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, look, I dreamed another dream. And in this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you? Yes, they all did. Joseph's brother and father needed Joseph. They needed him to fulfill their destinies. They would have died. They would have died. How many know every dream needs a team? Every dream needs a team. And without the team, the dream wasn't. What good would it be if he was over there and he had all this stuff with Pharaoh in Egypt and he wouldn't have saved Israel? What good would it have done if his whole family would? Every dream needs a team. And the people on this team weren't in agreement, and they were blowing their spot on the team. Are you with me? Because they wanted to be the star, but we just need to be on the team. God's into team wins, not just superstars. And so here he is, and the devil tries to get us in disagreement to divide the team to kill your dream. Or at best, delay it. You say, well, it doesn't matter because God works all things out for the good of those who love him or called according to his purpose. I get that. And God can redeem your dream, even if you messed it all up. But wouldn't it be best if we flowed into his purpose and his timing the way we're supposed to? There's a lot of dreams, but I think people don't have as much problem with the dream as they do with the team. It's a lot easier to receive a dream and dream from God and to say, we're going to do this, but it's a lot harder to work with people. It's like, God, I love you. The people, but it's a cross. It's God and it's people.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, it's great as long as, no, it's team. How about Barnabas? Barnabas and Paul had no small disagreement in Acts over John Mark. Mark had left Paul's team abruptly on another missions trip. Next week, we're loosing out some missions trips, and you're going to get to like pray over those and put in a missions application and go on a team. Well, this guy, John Mark, left the team, and Paul's like, he left. When we went on a team, he peaced out on us. He's not going on my team. And Paul was a team leader, and Barnabas and him kind of had it out. Barnabas was actually Mark's cousin, and he's saying Mark's good, and Paul's saying he's not going with me. And so in Acts 15:37, it says, now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take him with the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone back to the work. So the contentions became sharp that they parted from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul took Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. Now you could say, see, it was God's ordained destiny. Two teams were formed when it would have been one, and two places were impacted by the kingdom. Got it. But what would have happened if Mark never would have ever connected again with Paul? What would have happened if Paul, if they would have separated and go, that's it. It was a God-ordained division, and God wanted it because he got glory in two places. I'm hearing it, but I'm not exactly buying it, because disagreement separates destinies and dreams. And the devil attacks you at your destiny. And sometimes the very person he was supposed to be connected with was the very relationship that got attacked. Because later we see that he reconnected with Paul. They never tell us why they disconnected, but we know they're reconnected. And we read that Paul said, bring John Mark. He's good for me and good for the ministry, isn't it? So there was a redemption after Barnabas got a hold of him. So later we see they reunited. They ministered together. Listen, John Mark penned the Gospel of Mark. He sat under the tutorage of Apostle Paul, who penned 2/3 of the New Testament, and we got Mark. He sat under him. He reconnected with him. I think there was something about destiny between the two. And we read that gospel, but what if he would have just let that disagreement get him all discouraged and funky? I'm never going around that Paul guy again. I'm never doing ministry again. This is messed up. You know, I made a mistake and no one forgives, and God and blah, blah, blah. And you see this kind of stuff. It's like, get over your bad self and move on with the mission. Mark ends up ministering, and what Mark penned, we read, there's a sound of revival that's come from it. And the devil was threatened at the calling of this young man. Like Shaun White being discipled by Tony Hawk. Come on. Mentoring makes the dreams come to pass. I don't need anybody. You know, and then we're starting connect groups next week. We're going to lay the connect groups out. I don't need a connect group. You know, I got it going. I don't care if you're Tony Hawk. What about the Shaun White that's waiting for you to mentor them? Yeah. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah.
Well, you don't know who I am. I should be preaching from that pulpit. I preach better than you. Man, I should be leading my connect group. Why would I go to a connect group? Why would Tony Hawk waste his time with some red-haired little tiny Shaun White? Because that's God. We're to take what we have and to give. We're to mentor. And connect groups aren't just about you connecting so you can get. That's the devil. I want more, 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 more. We do get fed, but we get fed to give.
Yes.
And at some point, we got to say, I'm a Tony Hawk so I can find a Shaun White. So I can pour into him so he can go stand and get 2 gold medals in the Olympics and more in the X game and be better and more famous than I ever was. Now, some of you who are Tony's fans could argue that, but I'm just saying. They're supposed to take off and let their floor be our ceiling. We're supposed to pass the mantle, but how will they if we don't jump in? Well, you don't understand my commitments now. You don't understand all the things I've been through. They need to get that. It's a double process. So we just need to get it and go, it's not about us, it's about the process, whether we're the ones mentoring and the ones, whether we're giving and getting, and it should be both. You should be getting mentored and mentoring. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So if you disagree, then that means you're not going to walk together, huh? But if we agree, so let's not be disagreed, let's be agreed. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a sound. There's a sound of faith that comes from the logos when it becomes rhema, when it's breathed. Don't you love that sound when you're reading and then all of a sudden God breathes on it and the pages come alive and you're like, oh, there's something when faith is a substance, and when it comes in, you know faith when you get it. You know it's real. You know there's something there. We all know it. We realize it. We know the voice of faith. We need that voice. That voice of faith is that same sound of dreams being released because it's his dream and he puts it inside of us. And so we need to hear that sound. We need to be around that sound. And Mark, Mark didn't let his disagreement turn to disappointment. And Joseph did the same thing. He didn't let the disagreement with his brothers get on him. Now, maybe he was disappointed. We can't deny when we experience a feeling, but we don't let it sit on us and we don't sit in it. We got to take our disappointments to the cross and say, God, I'm going to be bigger than my disappointment. And I'm going to be bigger because you have something greater for me. So disagreement leads to disappointment. The question is, what are we going to do with it? Even if I'm dissed, I'm not going to walk in it. I'm not going to carry it. And I'm not going to identify with it. So number two is disappointment. So what is disappointment? Disappointment, it separates you from your what? From your God appointment. That's your dream. He puts a dream in you, and there's all these goals and appointments you meet on that. Ephesians 2:10 tells us every day God prepares these things for us to walk in. He prepares God appointments all the time. Are we disappointed, or are we walking in those God appointments? Because if we're disappointed, we're separated from our God appointments. Joseph didn't let disagreement turn to disappointment. He said, Genesis 37:24, then they took and they cast him in a pit, and the pit was empty. He had every opportunity to be disappointed. They threw him in a pit, intentioning to kill him. Then they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. That's prophetic of who? Jesus. They sold him as a slave to Potiphar, and he still didn't get disappointed. They take him from his God-given, he just didn't allow it. You see, man's disappointments are necessary to get you to God's appointments. Sometimes we get disappointed from man, but God has a plan in the midst of it. We just can't let it sit on us. Joseph, a few observations that Joseph did, things we can put in our pocket and we can learn by, is Joseph in Genesis 39:1, it says Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an official of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Joseph was a slave. Paul said, I'm a bond slave. I willingly make myself a slave. When we're like, man, I'm not doing that. That's below me. It's like, what could be below you? What could be below what Jesus did for? An example. Yes. How could you do anything that you could claim that it's below you when Jesus, look what he did for you? Yes. None of us could say that. Get Jesus standing next to you and tell me anything's below you. Genesis 39:2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. You could just be here going like, you know, I have a dream and I can't believe I am where I am. I'm working this job. I feel like I'm in a dead end. I feel like I'm in Egypt. Joseph served where he was in Egypt. Right where he was, God met him. And because he wasn't disappointed, because he wasn't in this position, he was able to do his best there. We need to be the best right where we are. He was right there. And secondly, it says in verse 4, and it says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. God is with us no matter where we are, and especially if we're surrounded by unbelievers, especially if we're in a place that we may think that, why, what are we doing here? And it says, Joseph found favor in the sight and served him, and made him, and he made him overseer over his house. God was with Joseph, number one. And two, Joseph served an Egyptian. We should never have a problem with serving in any of our churches. I can't find enough ushers. What? I can't find enough children's work. I can't find a child. I can't find someone who wants to come in early and park. Tell Jesus in heaven that I'm too busy to serve. It's my only day off. This is the Lord's day. And on the Lord's day, we serve the Lord.
Yes.
We're not ours. We're his. He bought us with a price. And so I get to serve. It's a privilege. I get to do what I get to do. I didn't like say, I want to be the guy with the microphone. I got saved and said, I will do anything the pastor wants. And I served a pastor for 7 years. I served my way into the opportunities that were given to me. I didn't come in with ambition. I didn't come in doing, I served 10 years as an associate. I served 7 years without a title. I served 10 years as a youth pastor and associate pastor before I took the pastorate, never intending ever to have a microphone in front of all of you. But God saw fit somehow in his calling and his divine plan to do that. Why? Because all I wanted to do was serve God. Yeah. Yes. I was just happy that I wasn't going to hell. Yeah. I'm just happy to be a doorkeeper. If you can just get happy and serve in the lowest position, that's the way to greatness. Joseph served his way to greatness. Jesus came and served his way to show us the greatest one that we will worship for all eternity came down and demonstrated as he came into an earthly body, as he took a towel off and washed their feet with it. He died on a cross in humility. He took a position to show us and tell us that there's something when we embrace serving. Evangelism is serving his purposes for the lost. The church is his purpose on the earth. We've got to serve it because he said the gates of hell will not prevail. We need to embrace what he died for, what he paid for. Are you with me?
Yes.
We're not supposed to serve with someone else's strength. Serve with your strength. Find out what your gift is. Serve with that gift. Joseph's older brother wasn't called to be a Joseph. Joseph was. We just need to be who God called us to be, and God will do the rest. He's successful, and sometimes when we're thinking we're really successful, he's put over all of he's put in a position, he's serving in Potiphar's house, and all of a sudden his success seemed to come crashing down, and Potiphar's wife has eyes for him, he ends up in a dungeon, but he doesn't get disappointed. He has every opportunity to, but he doesn't. He didn't let discouragement. And what is discouragement? It's dis from your courage. It separates you from courage. What is courage? Is courage a feeling? He's in a dungeon. Are you think you're feeling? And what are you feeling in a dungeon? Courage isn't a feeling. It's not like I'm in a dungeon. I'm feeling courageous. Courageous is a decision. Courage is a decision. So if you're discouraged, you're separated from your courage. But courage is a decision. So you can decide to take courage or you can give it up. And embrace discouragement and get dissed in your strength and your courage. Paul and Silas didn't get discouraged. They took courage and sang songs. They let the sound of their dream and they let the sound of revival come and it shook the place and it let it loose.
Yeah.
And all the prisoners heard a sound in the prison.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Sound.
There's a sound. We don't just come here because, wow, the worship. It's because there's a sound of revival. There's a sound on the earth. When you're in a prayer meeting and we're calling out in prayer, there's a sound. And it's a sound of his dream coming to this earth. It's a sound of the devil and the strongholds being broken. There's a sound. And when we get to be those people, it's like, I want to be. I hear that sound. I want to be around the sound. And then I get to be the sound.
Yeah.
We get to be the ones who minister. We get to be the ones who get to release it. And Joseph, he embraced it. He had every opportunity, but he didn't get discouraged. He took courage. And the next one is, many of us can get dissed. But if we get disappointed, sometimes we miss our appointment. Sometimes we just miss the appointed time. Habakkuk 2:2 says, and the Lord answered me and he said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is for a what? An appointed time. There's a timing. And we need to be ready for the timing. When the wall came down, we needed to come in. They asked for missionaries to come and they opened the door and no one would come. America wouldn't even send them in Japan when Japan, it's like we've got to recognize the sound and recognize opportunity and recognize appointed times. And second of all, it says the vision is for an appointed time. But if we're disappointed, we won't be in our appointment. We won't miss the time. The next one is it says, but at the end it will what? The vision will what? It'll speak. Vision has a voice. Well, I didn't really hear the word of the Lord, but the Lord speaks to you. He speaks to you in dreams. He speaks to you in visions. There's a lot of ways the voice of the Lord comes. Vision has a voice. And when you're speaking, you need to speak the voice. Because when God hears people saying his dream and we're declaring vision, heaven is happy. And he'll open the heavens when he hears the sound of the voice. Not the grumbling, complaining at Israel in the desert, but the voice. Vision has a voice. We need to recognize it. Our dream has a voice. Vision has a voice. And our dreams have a sound. Huh? Thus, the voice of God sets our dreams in motion. Think about it. The voice of God not only sets our dreams in motion, whether he showed you, whether he spoke to you, whether you just knew it, whether you get, however, that voice of the Lord, it set a dream in motion, whether we physically had a dream, whether he just gave it into you, into your knower, and you know it, whatever. But the voice of God, it sets our dreams in motion, but the voice of God keeps our dreams in motion. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And the only way we're going to walk it out is to walk it out by faith.
Yes.
And to be the people. And not be distanced from his voice. So the voice of God sets our dreams in motion. The voice of God keeps our dreams in motion. And a dream without a sound is just dead. We have to keep the sound going. Joseph had it down. He served God and he made way for his dreams. Joseph didn't allow himself to get dissed by his disagreements. He didn't allow himself to get dissed by his disappointments. And many times disagreements and disappointments leads to the third one, which is disillusionment. And we get disillusioned because it came to pass in Genesis 39:7, his master's wife started having eyes at him. Lie with me, Joseph, batting her eyes and, you know, trying to get him to do the wild monkey. And he's like, man, he said, how can I do this great witness, this great wickedness? How could I do this? I'll blow everything. My master's entrusted me with everything except you. And why would I do that? But let me ask you a thing. If Joseph would have allowed himself to be dissed by his disagreement from his brothers, if he would have allowed himself to be disappointed because he didn't see it happen in his time, maybe there'd be an alternative ending. Because if he was in a disagreement that led to disappointment, and he's in there going, you know, what the pumpernickel, here I am. This is my destiny, I guess. I got it all. So now I might as well take this too. It's all mine. Wasn't it about him? Yeah. Are you here?
Yeah.
But a lot of disillusionments because they were already dissed in their dreams before they got disillusioned. And a lot of people fall to disillusionment because they were already dissed. The disillusionment is just, it's an illusion, and the devil is the greatest illusionist that there is. He speaks lies of illusion, but we can't open our ears to him. And I guarantee whatever your dream and whatever your destiny is, he's going to speak words that are opposite.
Yeah, he will.
In Genesis 1, what did he say? God said, in the beginning of creation, there was a voice. A creative voice of God. There's a sound of God's dream. God's dream was God's dream is going to come to pass. And everything that we're doing on this earth, he's going to take away everything wicked and everything that turned that dream away. And his dream will come to pass. And we need to get it. There was a sound. There was a voice. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. That means we are to take the dominion that he gave us. We are to be that creative voice on this earth. We are those who need to resound with that voice of the dream. And God said, so he created man. We were created in his image to release the sound of dreams. And Satan knew that if we stood in harmony with God's voice, if we stood in harmony to the sound of God's dream for the earth, that he didn't have a chance. So what did he do? He came to Eve and he said, did God really say? What did he do? He questioned God's voice. He questioned the sound. And right away, could it be he disagreed with God? He dissed God, didn't he?
Yes.
Could it be she bought into his lie and was disappointed because he said God's holding out on you? Basically, if you'd eat from this tree, you're going to have all this stuff. And she thought, well, that sounds good. And maybe she did, he was in disagreement. And then all of a sudden you saw maybe, could it be there was some disappointment that led to disillusionment? And she's like, what? You know, what am I doing then? I need to follow this because I want all of that. That's the real dream. And it was, are you here?
Yeah.
This pattern happened. It happened from the beginning. Look at it. It's right there. And we don't need to bite into that apple. We don't get disillusioned because that's his illusion. We're going to tap into the dream. So when we know what it is, we get a hold of it and we hold fast. Hold fast that dream. Hold fast. You know what's God. You hold the word and you keep holding on to the word. You hold on and you hang in there. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And in the midst of that, we can see this thing that God did. And God, he's so beautiful, and he echoes it, and he gives us all that we need. And we can learn from this and learn from them. One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is Genesis 3:8. And it says, they heard the sound of the Lord. They heard the what?
Sound.
They heard the sound. That's what I'm trying to say. They heard the sound of God walking. How do you hear the sound of God walking? In the cool of the day, how did a sound from heaven come? There is a sound, and we need to learn it. And when they heard it, they hid themselves. Adam and Eve, we know what happened. They bit into the apple. They bit into the whole disagreement, disillusion. They held into the whole disappointment, and they bit into that apple. And then what happened was when they heard the sound, something responded differently, where maybe if they wouldn't have taken those three discs, maybe if they weren't dissed, they would have just said, God, even then they might have come and said, God, we sinned. We made a mistake. Forgive us. And God in his forgiving nature would have forgiven him. Whole alternative, whole different ending, wouldn't it have been?
Yeah.
But they didn't. They hid. And we got to learn that when we run from the presence instead of to it, that we're really hiding. We need to always run to the sound, not from. They hid from the sound of the Lord. They hid from the presence of the Lord. That's one of the saddest verses, because what it did was, is it's not just about the devil getting them to sin. It's about the devil separating them from the sound. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That God has a dream, and he wants that sound in our ears, and he wants us, and he created us to live by the sound, to tap into the sound of faith, and to tap into the sound of revival, to live by his voice, to crave his presence. But if we get dis, we get separated, and that was the devil's plan from the beginning. And I just want you to stand with me today. Would you stand all over the room? Maybe you're here and you say, I've never like run to God like Adam and Eve and said, forgive my sins. I've been running from him because I think sometime I'll be good enough for him. You're never going to be good enough. Will you please just accept the fact that it's not about you. It's about what he did. Jesus died on the cross. And the gospel is that if you believe that he died for you and took your sins on him, you can be saved. All you have to do is say, forgive me, God. I believe what he did, that he stood in my place, and you can be saved today. And many of you here, maybe you're stuck with disagreement because you had a fight with someone, and you're just being too hard-headed to forgive or to ask for forgiveness. Forgive. Let it go. And maybe you're just in that spot where you got disappointed. Some of you, you need to admit, some of you are mad at God. I could never be mad at God. I love God. You're disappointed that your dream didn't happen. Like Joseph in a pit going, I got pulled out. I got sold out. And I feel like I got sold out. I got the Judas knife stuck in me. He got Judas'd, and yet Joseph stood, and we get to stand. Jesus showed us what you do when Judas reapproaches you. You say, friend. Hardest lines in the Bible. But we don't get to be disappointed. We don't get that. You can get that and get separated from your dreams. Or you can let that go and pursue your dreams. And I'm saying the second's better. Let it go. And thirdly, if you're disillusioned, if you've somehow bought a different illusion, it's not about your gold medal. It's not about you. And when we give up on God, we make it about us. Suddenly, instead of the most important thing is the kingdom of God, the most important thing is the kingdom of us. Whatever it is. I got to make it for my family. I got to make it for me. I got to whatever. It's about you. Track your time. Look at your hobbies. Look at your passions. Look what makes you eat and breathe. What do you talk about? What's inside of you? There's nothing wrong with having things. There's something wrong with things having you. There's nothing wrong with doing, having entertainment. There's something wrong when you live for entertainment. There's nothing wrong with, it's balance. It's really does, is God what really makes you tick? Is his dream alive? If it's not, are you disillusioned? Can we go back and say, God, do a reset button? I think we can. He tells us his mercies are new every day, and there's a new mercy for you today. And he will forgive every bit of your past And 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess, he'll forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness and give you a brand new start today. So I want to ask you first, if you're in this room, if you just bow your heads for a second, just out of respect, if you're here and you say, I'm not going to heaven, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but Pastor, I want to, and I want to live with God forever in eternity. That I want that dream, and I want to ask him for forgiveness today. Would you raise your hand and just say, that's me right here. I'm going to pray with some other people, but amen, I see you right there. Just say, that's me. Just say, that's me. Bible says that if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, that's me. Amen. Amen. I see you. Just put your hands down for a second. If there's anyone else who just wants to say, I want to know I'm going to heaven. This is my day. I want to know it. I'm at the point. I'm not going to miss the appointment. I'm not going to be disappointed again. I'm going to fulfill the appointment. And if you're here and you just say, you know, I had a disagreement and maybe you're Joseph. Maybe you didn't do anything. Maybe all the smack and all the stuff, maybe none of it was you, but it doesn't matter. We don't get the right to hold it against them because Jesus took your sins on the cross and said, "If as I forgave you, you have to forgive them." So we don't even get to hold on to it. We get to give it up. So would you give it up if that's you? Would you just let go of disagreement today? If you say, I'm going to let go of that. I held on to some and I'm going to let it go. Just be honest and lift your hand and say, that's me today. Come on, just lift your hand. I know there's more of you. Come on. Just say, I'm going to let it go. Okay, you can put your hands down, but I want you to take that same hand and make a phone call and make an appointment and make it right. I want you to act on it and do something about it. And the next one is that disappointment. Do you know that the dream is for an appointed time and some of you try to make it happen before your time? We can't make it happen. I can't make the time, but I'm not going to miss the time. I'm not going to miss my appointment. So I'm going to stay ready. I'm going to put oil in my lamps. That's the Holy Spirit. I'm going to put the Holy Spirit in me, and that's my job. My job is to be full of the oil of the Holy. My job is to be full of the Holy Spirit and ready to go. And when I hear his voice, I'll be ready for the appointment, not to get disappointed and not to just walk away from that, but to stay in that. And some of you, that's where you're at. You've been in that zone. If that's you, just raise your hand because God's going to heal it today and he's going to pour oil in it. Just raise your hand and say, that's me. I know that. There's no shame in that. There's no shame. And the last one is disillusionment. Some of you bought into an illusion and you've run an alternative ending and you need to stop it and go back to the dream that God gave you and pursue it. It's not just about motorcycles. Go out on the motorcycles, but there's people that need to be reached on the sports fields. There's people that need to be reached in the business. There's people that need to be reached in our neighborhoods. There's people that need to be reached out into the parks, the highways, the byways. There's people that need to be reached in the bush, and there's people in your backyard. It doesn't matter. Just respond to the dream. Whatever your dream's not unimportant. It's so important to God that he died and sent his son that you would have a piece of the puzzle. And if that's you and you say, I know that disillusionment, I'm just making you kind of connect because, you know, if we don't make a point to say I'm changing this, you'll never change. If you do the same thing, you'll never change. I'm just asking, if you sense disillusionment, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm letting it go today. That one's going. That one's going. Would you just pray with me right now because I've preached too long. I want to wrap this up. Would you please just pray this prayer all over the room? Would everyone, if you're born again, pray this prayer with me? I don't want anyone to feel awkward. I want everyone to pray together and just say, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned. And today, I receive forgiveness. I believe in your Son, that he died for me. I believe the gospel, that he rose from the dead. And today, I receive forgiveness. Would everybody lift a hand towards heaven and maybe two? Would you just say, I let go of being dissed. And I just pray over the disagreements and disappointments, disillusionment, discouragement. I pray over all the disses and all the ones I didn't say today. I pray, God, that we are not a people who can be dissed because we are unoffendable. We are going to walk like Jesus, and we're going to just say friend to our Judases, and we're going to let all of that go because we want to be like you. We want the love of God to flow in our lives. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill right now. I pray you'd fill lamps that were empty. I pray you'd fill them where there was disappointment and disillusionment. Fill their lamp with oil. Holy Spirit, come in this place. The Bible tells us that he cleanses us and washes us. But the washing part of that when he forgives us is that he cleanses us, then he fills us. So be filled. Please just take a moment and say, more God, fill me. Fill me. When you're you're full of the Holy Spirit, you can't be, there's no room for dis. There's no room. Fill them, God. Can I have the altar team come up, please? Can someone take this off of here? And can the altar team please come up to the front? Just let it go. Let it go and let him fill you. Let him push it out of you. The best way to get something out of you is to get something else in you. Holy Spirit, fill. Fill them. Flood them with your great love, Daddy God. Show them the cross was your great love. Show them you love them so much. Even today, God, even if we messed up your schedule because I went long, he loves you so much. He doesn't want you to leave filled with any bit of being dissed. He wants you full of love. He wants you full of his Holy Spirit. I pray you'd loose it, God, in your power on us. And I pray right now a blessing. And I know I had you put your hands up long, but if you could just put them up one last time, I promise I'm done. I promise. God, I pray right now that you just bless them as they go, because this is the year of their appointment. This is the year of your appointment. This is the year of your appointment. This is the year of Ephesians 2:10, that we believe we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared beforehand for you to walk into. You're going to walk in your appointments, and you're going to walk, and you're going to be sons and daughters of the Most High. Oh, thank you. Thank you for what you did today. And I pray, God, that you just seal it with your Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Hey, listen, I want you, to come to the front if you still need ministry. And I want to encourage those of you, we have a growth track starts tonight. We talk about our vision and we talk about what it is to be a member and the process of serving in any teams. If you want to serve and be part of the dream teams or be a part of this church, come. You don't have to become in the church to learn, but at least you'll get to have 4 weeks on Sunday nights where you get to hear from the different pastors and ministry. So tonight we talk about the vision and the structure of the church, and it's pretty laid back. But there's a sign up for you. Is it out on the lobby still? I think there's a sign up clipboard in the lobby. If not, someone can attend to it. And God bless you. And we'll see you next week. And if you need ministry, please come. God bless you. Have an excellent week.